Hey, what a great day it is to be able to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for being a part of our services here. And we are so thankful for those who are visiting with us. What a blessing it is to have you with us today. Folks, it has been a great morning so far. Our Bible classes were full again. Our worship has been amazing, and certainly I am thankful for all the hearts that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness that are in here today. Before we get into our lesson today, I want to read a sweet note from our sweet family, our sweet friends, Katie and Taylor Copeland, on behalf of the shower and such from Baby Shepherd. They write, "Words cannot express how incredibly humbled and grateful we are for the outpouring of love you showed us and Baby Shepherd at our recent shower. This baby is a blessing, a miracle we do not take for granted. Another blessing we do not take for granted is this church family. We are thankful for your continuous love, support, guidance and grace as we continue growing our family and serving your families here. We ask that you continue to cover Shepherd in prayer in these next couple weeks as we wait for his arrival. Thank you again. We love you all." And we certainly love the Copelands. I am so thankful for them, and certainly I'm thankful for their family. I'm thankful for the work that Katie continues to do through Mobile Christian School, and Taylor and Katie both do here at Azalea City. And listen, to have children that have been in their youth group, I tell you, they do a great work, and I love them and I appreciate them. But as they request to continue to pray for Shepherd, continue to pray for Katie. Just a few more weeks now, and we'll get to see this handsome fella very soon. But thank you guys. In John 21, there is a great section of Scripture. I really love that chapter. Because in John 21, you go ahead and change the slide. In John 21, there is a moment in time when Peter is remembering what has taken place after the rooster crowed. He's remembering the guilt, I believe. He's remembering the shame that he has brought to the Savior, that he's brought to the Father, his friend Jesus, the Christ. Peter remembers what he has done. And I believe in John 21, he is resorting back to something that takes his mind off of things. Maybe he's even struggling with going back into that way of living. Remember, he left his nets to follow Jesus. Now he's returning back to his nets, possibly because he's not following Jesus. But if you'll recall, there is a moment there where Jesus comes back to them, and he is on the shore, and he's getting ready to have breakfast, if you will, with these guys. And he probably knows, doesn't he? Or not probably, he does know that Peter is struggling. He knows that Peter is hurting right now. And perhaps Peter is even on the verge of quitting. Could you imagine quitting Jesus? Could you imagine walking this earth with him as a very close friend for 3 years and knowing how great he is and watching the miraculous things that he's done, watching him take care of people, heal people, love people, forgive people, and now, because of fear, you're about to quit him? Listen, we haven't seen Jesus. We haven't been able to experience those miracles that he did, the healings, the forgivings, all those things while he was on earth. But do you know there are people that meet Jesus still today? They meet him at the waters of baptism. They come up out of that water to walk in his ways. And you know what happens? The world happens. Fear happens. Pride happens. All those things that can happen and did happen to Peter can happen to us. And you know that there is a chance that today there are some of us on the verge, as Peter was, of quitting Jesus. But I'm here to report to you, Peter didn't quit. You see, when he realizes that is Jesus, you remember what he did? He jumped back in. He jumps into the water to see Jesus. Today, as we go through our lesson, what I'm trying to stop today is anybody who's on the verge of quitting. There have been a lot of times in life we've probably faced quit. We've probably faced moments of times when things have gotten hard that we just want to run. You know, there is something in our bodies. There is a part of our adrenaline that kicks in, and it's called in counseling realms and everything else as fight or flight. There are a lot of times in fight or flight, maybe all of a sudden you're startled or something and you have that fight mode, you know, that the hair on the back of your neck kind of stands up and you're like, all that adrenaline just rushed to you and like, what am I going to do with all this now? But then there are the times when things get really hard. Maybe it's that pressure cooker we talked about in class this morning, and you're not able to get this world out, get these things out, that sometimes we just want to run. Same thing with Jonah. He wanted to run. We want to run from Jesus. I'm just going to go back to the things that I knew. I'm just going to go back to the lifestyle that I left. I'm going to live this way because it's all I know. I found comfort, Peter, in fishing. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus hasn't given up on us. If you've given up on Jesus, He's not given up on you. And He's standing at the shore. And we've got a decision to make. Am I going to just keep fishing, or am I going to jump back in? You see, I guess it's a question that has been asked many times throughout elderships and throughout church meetings and throughout time as the church has existed. How do we keep people faithful? How do we keep the faithful faithful? You know, there are people that will walk in the front door. They'll sit on the pew. They'll even get involved for a little while. But if not careful, will slowly, quietly walk out the back. Walk in the front, slip out the back. The truth of the matter is this. It was with Peter, it is with us. The world's tempting. It's really tempting. It's really tempting when the pressure's on to give up on Jesus. It's really tempting to blame God. It's really tempting to get so frustrated with life that you just say, is it really worth it? And listen, if you've been there or you are there, you're not alone. There are so many people that are there. Listen, I would be a liar to tell you there haven't been times in my history of my ministry, the 26 years of ministry I've been here at Azalea City, that I haven't thought hard and long about quitting ministry. Not quitting God per se, but quitting ministry. Because there are times when it seems like the pressure's on and maybe you just feel like, hey, I can't do this anymore. And maybe that's you in your job. Maybe that's you in your spiritual life. Maybe that's you in your marriage. But I'm here to encourage us all. Don't quit. Don't quit. Life can be hard. The world can be tempting. And sometimes being a part of the church even feels weary. George read to us from Luke chapter 9 earlier. And that's a great section of Scripture that Jesus is teaching His disciples, and they're walking along the road, and a man runs up to Him. Did you hear what he said? He said there in Luke 9, I'll follow you wherever you go. You know, we sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. And listen, I hope that everybody in here has. And if you haven't decided, that at the invitation today, you will decide to follow Jesus. But we sing that song, and what we're singing is, Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Just like this man ran up to Jesus in Luke 9, and he says, I'll follow you wherever you go. Did you hear what Jesus said to him, though? He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, he said, understand what you're signing up for. He said, don't think that you're signing up for something that I'm going to go to home to a castle. And I'm going to have all these beautiful meals set before me. I don't want you to think for one minute that you're going to have this fancy room to sleep in, this fancy bed to lay your head on. He said, right now, I don't have any of that. Are you still willing to follow? Don't sign up thinking that life will continue after this moment being easy. I'd love to tell you, if you walk the aisle today and you're immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, that when you come up out of that water to walk anew, that your life will never be hard again. But that's just not reality. And Jesus told us that. I'm thankful we serve a Savior who told us the truth. He told us the truth that in this world, because of Satan, because of sin, because of darkness, because of evil, there are days and moments and times and seasons that it's going to be very hard. Following Jesus means there will require sacrifice. It will require endurance. And sometimes, not in following Jesus, but we'll still face challenges and difficulties. So when Jesus said at the end of that in verse 62 of Luke 9, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what he was saying? Don't put your hands on the plow if you ever intend on quitting. When we surrender all, he means all. So here's my prayer for today. That no matter where we are in our walks with God, we're going to be so motivated, so strengthened, and so renewed that if we haven't put our hands on the plow or our hands are currently on the plow, we will never, ever look back. The scripture I want to look at today for our text is Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3 was read to us by Dawson a moment ago, and I'd like to reread that now. The Hebrew writer writes, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what that passage reminds us of in the Christian walk? That it's a race. But it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You see, in a sprint, speed matters. In a marathon, endurance matters. The goal of being a Christian, and listen, I want to baptize as many people as we possibly can. But I don't want to just stop at baptism, right? I want people once they put that hand to the plow, to never give up. No matter what happens in life, no matter the heavy weights that are on us through life, through circumstances, through the devil, our prayer ought to be that we all finish the race. The exact way the Apostle Paul put it when he said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. So the questions have to be, how do we keep the faith? How do we endure until the finish line? How do we live so renewed that quitting God never crosses our mind? That's got to be the goal. That's got to be the questions. The good news is, I believe the answers are right here in Hebrews 12. And I believe they're so simple to say, but maybe they're a little challenging to live out. But here they are. Number one, you want to never quit. You never want to never think about it. The first thing we've got to do, according to the Hebrew writer, is be inspired to work. We've got to be inspired to work. That means we have to get off the couch. But the good news is, we can be inspired to work because of verse 1. Look at verse 1. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Think about it. It's like a stadium that's packed with men and women of faith. And you know what they're doing? They're cheering us on. You know, I can remember watching at different times the Olympics. Specifically, I can remember when Michael Phelps was going for all those world records and he was swimming. And I can remember standing up in my living room, cheering him on. Can you imagine those in the stadium that were doing that? Why? Because he's representing the United States of America. And we were proud of him and we're proud of that and watching that. Well, guess what? You're representing Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We ought to be proud of that. And as Christians, brothers and sisters, we need to be the ones that are cheering each other on, not longing for each other to fail, but to succeed. In verse 1, it starts with the conjunction, bringing chapter 11 to chapter 12. Remember, it was a letter, not chapters or a book. But it's the word therefore. What that does is point us back to chapter 11. You know what chapter 11 was? The Hall of Fame of Faith, we call it. I just want to pick out three. There's so many we could choose from. Noah is one that he mentions in Hebrews 11. Noah, they say, spent as much as 120 years. Think about that. There are not many people that make it to live 120 years. Noah spent up to 120 years building the ark while people laughed at him, while people made fun of him, while people ridiculed him. If Noah could speak to us today, I would imagine he'd say some things like this, hey, I get it's not always easy. But if I endured, you can as well. Think about this, Noah would say. Salvation came when the rain started. Someday it's going to rain. You got to be on the ark. How about Abraham? Abraham in Hebrews 11, we know his story, right? He left his home. He left all that he knew. And ultimately, he trusted God for a son. And in his old age, he got that son. And then God said, I want you to go and sacrifice him. Go lay your son on the altar. and give him back to me. Well, we know how that great story ends, right? That powerful story. Abraham didn't have to sacrifice Lot. His arm was stopped and God provided, as Abraham knew he would all along. What if Abraham could talk to us today? Do you think he'd say, trust the will of God. Follow in his steps no matter where he leads you. I would imagine he'd always say, don't quit, because if God made a promise, he's always kept his promises. Then there's Joseph. Love the story of Joseph, right? Joseph was faithful to God even in a pit. Joseph was faithful to God even in a prison. And Joseph was faithful to God even in the palace. Maybe Joseph would say to us today, stay faithful when it's easy and when it's not. Of course, we could talk about Moses. We could talk about Samson. We could talk about David. We could talk about Rahab. We could talk about so many others. But I want it to resonate with you today. Talking about being inspired to work till he comes. What about that Sunday school teacher who, when you were a little child, prayed for you? What about that parent or grandparent who thought it most important to model their faith for you? What about that brother or sister in this congregation who you looked up to, who've already finished their race? You know what they're all doing right now? They're in the stands and they're cheering you on. Don't quit. Keep going. Finish the race. The best way to never quit is to keep working, to keep pressing forward. There's inspiration all around us. The story I want to tell you, I saw just last night, and I thought about this. There was a young man at the University of Arkansas who, by the way, is not paralyzed. Today, he has a concussion, but last night, he was playing the University of Mississippi. He and his team were, and he was on defense, and he took a knee to the head, and it was so bad that they brought a cart out, and they put him on a stretcher, and they kept him, and they took all the precautions necessary that this man may be paralyzed forever and never walk again. Of course, that takes a stoppage in play, right? But the University of Mississippi and the University of Arkansas, all players, some praying, some gathering around, and they're standing over this guy, and it's essentially saying, please be okay, please get up, please be able to walk. And it made me think about us. Man, life can paralyze us. Life can stop us in our tracks. Not everybody in here agrees on everything. Not everybody in here, I'm talking about in life, I'm not talking about in the Bible. Not everybody in here is going to have the same hobbies. Not everybody's going to look alike. Not everybody's going to act like. We're all different, but we're all going to gather around, aren't we? And we're cheering for that brother today. Please get up. Please be okay. Please keep fighting. Secondly, this morning, the Hebrew writer wants us to be prepared for struggles. In verse 1, he also says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, ensnares us, traps us. You see, you cannot run well if there's weight on your back. And listen, I have used this illustration from the time I saw it and started till now, so you've heard it before. But this illustration is so powerful to me. In bodybuilding family, in the bodybuilding family, there was a time when Arnold Schwarzenegger was Mr. Olympia, and he competed against several people over the years and over the generations. One of those men, and they were ended up being best friends forever, but his name was Franco Colombo. He's passed on now. But Franco Colombo was not a tall man in stature, but he was a very proportioned man, and really a lot of times people thought that he should have won Mr. Olympia over Mr. Arnold there. But that's not really what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is this. When I was younger, they had on television where these men, these bodybuilders, these power lifters, all these others, they would enter into these what's called the World's Strongest Man contest. And I think they still have those today, but ESPN used to show them. And of course, a lot of these guys with these amazing physiques and such, they get a bad rap. Hey, they look the part, but they're not really strong. And so a lot of them wanted to enter. Well, I remember one time Mr. Colombo was about to do a race. And again, there were some dumb things that they did along the way. And they literally had a refrigerator tied to his back. You know, you might have heard the expression, hey, quit running like you got a refrigerator on your back. Well, he really did. And so they're going to see who can win this event. Franco Colombo, again, not a very tall guy, so his legs aren't very long to be able to move the way they need to. Like in a race, especially with a refrigerator on your back, and so they fire the gun, and he takes off running, and it showed it there on TV. You probably still see the footage. It wouldn't say go Google it or anything, unless you like gross stuff. But his knee just gives out, and it just tears everything, and he falls to the ground, and he can't finish the race. Can't finish the race because he was running with a refrigerator on his back and it brought him down. In the spiritual life, for whatever reason, a lot of people run with heavy weights on their back, heavy spiritual weights on their heart, heavy guilt in their mind. Because what we sometimes fail to realize is that sin will entangle us. It will entrap us. Satan knows our weak spots. And he's going to come after us with what we're weakest at. And if we carry these things around long enough, these struggles, these sins, these burdens, these heavyweights, if we carry them around long enough, they will break us. So we got to get it off our backs. I have never ran a marathon, nor do I ever plan on running one. I was talking to Evan Ray this morning. Evan said, I'm a little sore. Of course, you know what I thought. Hey, man, you been working out? He said, no, I ran 20 miles yesterday. Good for Evan. Could you imagine? Hey, Michelle, I'll see you later. I'm going to go run about 20 miles. First of all, she would call somebody because she know I ain't running 1 mile. But the point of it is, I can't imagine that. Marathon runners, people that run long distances, all these miles. I understand, I haven't done it, but I understand there's a couple tough places that you got to get right in a marathon. The first one is the start. Because what you have to guard against in the start is you feel so good, you're fresh, you've got adrenaline flowing, you've got all this competition about you. And they fire that gun, and so you have to guard that you pace yourself. You don't just flat out start in a sprint so that you lose all of your endurance. Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. That's why it's so important that with brand new Christians, we keep an eye on them. We encourage them so that they don't just start out the gate so fast and then all of a sudden they've lost that endurance. But then there's also the halfway point in a marathon. You know, you've run a long way, but that finish line still is so far away. This is what I understand that runners hit the wall. They hit a wall with their bodies. But I've been told that if that runner will just break through that wall, they'll find the energy, the endurance, the stamina to go on and finish. Spiritually, it's when discouragement sets in. It's when trials pile up. It's when you just get tired of fighting. But church, if you have hit the wall, don't stop. Let's break through the wall. Let's tear it down. Let's press on. Because I can promise the finish is so worth it. And then there's thirdly. The Hebrew writer said, if you want to keep running, be focused on the Savior. Verses 2 and 3 of our reading, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why do we look to Jesus? I mean, I think simply we understand it, but let's break it down. Why look to Jesus? Because He's the greatest endurer there has ever been. He was mocked. He was opposed. He was oppressed. He was beaten. He was killed. And yet, knowing all of that, it says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Think about that. Think about knowing that you're going to be beaten, spit on, opposed, oppressed, scourged, killed. But because of the joy of doing all that, you go on to the cross. The joy wasn't the beatings. The joy wasn't the spit. The joy wasn't the mocking. The joy wasn't those who were against Him. The joy wasn't the scourging. The joy wasn't the nails. The joy was you and me. That's the joy that Jesus had to go to the cross. That's why He's the author, the one who started our faith, and He's the finisher, the one who will complete our faith. That's why He's the one who told us, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. He's the one who stood with Stephen when Stephen was stoned. He's the one who went to the cross when it should have been you and it should have been me. That's why we stay focused on Him. He's got to be the most important thing in our lives. I love my wife. He's got to be more important. I love my children. He's got to be more important. We could go on and on, right? He's got to be number one. Why would we ever want to walk away from Him? Have you ever been walking forward, but looking back at the same time, and then walk right into something? You know why we walked into something? Because we were so focused on what was behind us, we missed what was right in front of us. So church, I'm begging us, if we've been tempted to look back, don't be tempted to look back anymore. Don't long for Egypt when the promised land is ahead. Don't quit when the finish line is near. Don't give up when the cloud of witnesses is cheering and the Savior is waiting. Let's press on. Let's endure. Let's run with our eyes fixed on Jesus. This morning as we close, maybe you have been running, but you've been dragging the weight of sin behind you. Today, it's time to lay it down. Today, it's time to lay aside every weight. Jesus said, "Cast your burdens on me." Why not lay it at the cross today? Maybe we've been looking back. Maybe like Peter, tempted to go back to the old way. When I left my nets behind a few years earlier. Maybe today, echoing in our brain can be this. Jesus' words, put your hand on the plow and never look back. Maybe today you haven't started the race. Today's the day to do it. Today's the day to enter. Today you can walk the aisle, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. When you come up out of that water, you're going to begin a race, not a sprint, a marathon. And we're going to run alongside each other. And if you fall, we're going to pick you up. If I fall, you're going to pick me up. And we're going to be there for each other. We're going to put our hands to that plow. We're going to press forward. Why? Because the finish is worth it. The crown is waiting. Don't quit. Don't look back. Let's run with endurance. Until the day we see Jesus face to face. If you have a need, won't you come right now together. We stand and sing.